Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I want to devote the majority of the broadcast today, if not all of the broadcast today, to talk about the pandemic that is known as the novel coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. And I have not addressed this directly on the broadcast. I have dealt with it in passing, but I thought it would be good to zero in on this pandemic and what it means for the body of Christ today. And I do that because I received a message today, a message from someone that I consider a prophetic voice to the body of Christ, and certainly someone who has been a prophetic voice to me personally. Before I get into that, I want to mention that pandemics are nothing new. The only reason we think they're new is because we have, well, short memories. And also, I would add, because we don't know a whole lot about history. Think back historically to smallpox, that one dread disease killed some 300 to 500 million people. Or consider the Black Death, the Middle Ages endured this scourge, which took the lives of some 200 million people. 100 years ago, the Spanish flu. That was a pandemic that killed upwards of 50 million people. Or we could go to 1968 and the Hong Kong flu, which killed more than 1 million people worldwide, 100,000 in the U.S. alone. The swine flu of 2009, this was a pandemic that killed 150,000 worldwide, 12,000 in the U.S. So the idea here is that historically, pandemics have been the lot of human beings. So the question now is, what will history tell us about the novel coronavirus COVID-19? Well, at present, we can't say. What we can say is so far there have been some 18,500 deaths worldwide, and that includes 637 deaths in the United States of America, which raises the question, what can the church do? What can the united body of Christ do in the midst of this kind of a pandemic? Well, as I mentioned at the outset of the broadcast this morning, I received a call from a dear friend who lives in Singapore. His name is Elijah Wijaya. And he is the person who gave me the title of my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Of course, I even dedicated my book to him. And I would say that when he gave me this title, he wasn't giving me a false dichotomy. After all, Jesus not only declared himself to be the way to the Father, but the truth and the life. Outside the truth kept by the whole church, personal experience would be deprived of all certainty, of all objectivity. It'd be a mingling of truth and falsehood, of reality and illusion. And thus there can be no life without truth, but above all, no truth without life. The life that matters more is thus a realm largely inaccessible to our human apprehensions of truth. And as such, truth is always, in the last resort, a means. It's a unity of knowledge that subserves an end transcending all knowledge, and that ultimate end is union with God, or deification. Now, this was a message, truth matters, life matters more, that I received a number of years ago, but this morning, another message from the Lord. Again, it came from Elijah Wijaya. And in this message from the Lord, and I do believe it was a message from the Lord, Elijah was asking Christians around the world to pray three times a day for 21 days and to pray that we may all be in one accord. And I want to take each one of those points in isolation and add them together because I think this is a powerful message. It is a mandate for the church in this specific moment of time. So first, you might ask, why pray three times a day? And there's a reason for that. This happens to be precisely what the early church was in the practice of doing. The early Christian church, you will recall, derived many of their practices from the ancient Jews. Of course, most notably from Daniel. Daniel prayed morning, noon, and evening. And as he prayed, he was praying for the restoration of an exiled people of the promise. The Jews were in the habit of praying the Shema. Remember the Shema? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. Well, we learn from the Didache, the teachings of the Lord according to the 12 apostles, which contain two documents or two ways, the first being a Christian catechism and the second containing instructions on church order or practical instructions conspicuously absent from the New Testament. But from the Didache, we learn that the early Christians also prayed three times each day, substituting the Lord's Prayer in place of the Shema. Now think about that. With respect to the Shema, the Jews were not even permitted to take the sacred name of God upon their lips. Jesus, however, gave us a brand new ethic. He told us not only that we could take the sacred name of God upon our lips, but that we could legitimately call God our Father. And so what Elijah is asking us to do is to pray three times a day, and we can substitute for the Shema, the Lord's Prayer. And I can tell you this has been my practice for many, many years. Every morning when I get up, I pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So Elijah's asking us to pray three times a day, and I would add, make certain that you pray the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, morning, noon, and night. And if you want some further instruction on the significance of praying the prayer of Jesus or the Lord's Prayer, my book, The Prayer of Jesus, it is a tremendous book that will unlock secrets to real intimacy with God. When we come back from the break, and we're going to go over the two other points that are part and parcel of the word that Elijah gave me this morning, which includes prayer for 21 days, as well as praying in one accord, which accords well with the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. We'll talk about that and more when we come back from the break. In the meantime, thank you for all that you do in standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Can we really trust the Bible? Skeptics say no, arguing that the gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the new film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans tracks down the most ancient New Testament manuscripts and highlights groundbreaking new evidence, demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because questions remain about the earliest moments of the universe, scientists offer speculative alternatives to our universe having an actual beginning. Nevertheless, the science that is known to be true provides abundant evidence that the universe came into being a finite time ago, just as the Bible teaches. Other topics include how Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers, Christian apologetics in a nutshell, John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth Preacher, Christian imagination and the problem of horrendous evil, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Can we trust the Bible? The Christian faith is firmly rooted in the teachings of the New Testament, but can we really trust the Bible? Skeptics will tell you that the authenticity of the Bible cannot be trusted, arguing that the gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the New Faith Life original film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on, traveling around the world to investigate the most ancient New Testament manuscripts available. Along the way, Dr. Evans highlights groundbreaking new evidence, demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and I'm devoting the broadcast today to a message that I received from a dear friend, a friend to whom I dedicated my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, Elijah Wajaya, who had a message from the Lord for me, and I think for the broader body of Christ throughout the world. And that message is that we are to pray three times a day, pray for 21 days, and in the process, pray in one accord. Let me cash that out before the break. I talked about why three times a day. I mentioned Daniel, who prayed morning, noon, and evening for the restoration of Israel. I also mentioned that this was the practice of the early Christians. They prayed three times a day. They didn't pray the Shema like the early Jews did, but they did pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day. Again, we get that from the Didache, and that is an authentic source by which we can look at the practices of the early church. But Elijah went on to say that we ought to pray three times a day for 21 days. Now, why is that? It is because, as in Daniel's day, there are strongholds that need to be broken, not the least of which is the lack of unity within the body of Christ. I think back to Daniel 10, there we read that Daniel not only prayed three times a day, but he fasted for 21 days. And many of us are in the midst of a fast as we approach the Lenten season. And if we pray and fast for 21 days, we'll be right in between the fast of the Eastern Church that ends in Easter, April 12th, and Pascha for the Eastern Church that ends April 19th. So you'll be right in between those two dates, the date of Easter for the Western Church and Pascha for the Eastern Church. At any rate, we ought to pray because we are very much like the Hellenized Jews of the second century. These were the very people that Daniel prophesied about in the 6th century. They were willing to serve the pagan gods of self-gratification and libido. Conversely, those who were willing to follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob counted not their lives worthy even unto death. And if you want to get some perspective of what that meant, in Daniel's vision, which reached into the second century before Christ, read Maccabees, particularly Maccabees chapter 2, the otherworldly prayer of a mother and seven of her sons who faced incredible, torturous deaths under the Old Testament Antichrist Antiochus the IV Epiphanes. And not only did the death of the abominable Antichrist Antiochus underscored the sovereign power of God over the nations of the earth, it signaled the soon coming of the Ancient of Days, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, a dominion that will not pass away, a kingdom that will never be destroyed. We read about that in Daniel chapter 7. And then Elijah talked about, thirdly, praying in one accord. And that accords very, very well, as I mentioned earlier, with the high priestly prayer of Jesus that we read about in John chapter 17. Remember the words of Jesus, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." Union with God, unity with one another is thus the goal of our salvation. It's the means, I would go on to say, of global transformation. God became incarnate in the form of humanity so that humanity might rise up to union with God. If we are united to God, united to one another, the church is empowered by an unlimited flow of divine energy by which to provide life and light to our generation. But divided, the church's energy remains limited and toxic. Unity around the essentials of the historic Christian faith is the greatest antidote to the cultural captivity of the contemporary church. The manifestation of the uncreated, inexhaustible energy supply is alone sufficient to save the world. The energy, the very energy manifested by Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, the very dunamis that alone can unite the church and transform the world. So what is Elijah doing and calling us to this time of prayer? Well, he is calling us to accord with the call of the prophets in days gone by. And I might not only mention prophets in days gone by, but even presidents. Think back, for example, to Abraham Lincoln, who in the midst of America's Civil War called all Americans to participate in humility, in fasting, and in prayer. His words ought to be traced into the canvas of our consciousness. Abraham Lincoln said, and memorably so, that we, as Americans, had grown in numbers, in wealth, and in power. We had grown as no other nation had ever grown. But in the process of our prosperity, we had forgotten God. We forgot the gracious hand which preserved us in peace, which multiplied, which enriched, which strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. And thus intoxicated with unbroken success, we became self-sufficient. We felt the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace unnecessary, and we became too proud to pray for the God who made us to protect us in the midst of the life in which he placed us. And therefore, said Lincoln, it behooves us to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, to pray for clemency and forgiveness. What happened in April of 1863 must happen again in March and April of 2020. We must do precisely what Elijah has called us to do. Pray 3 times a day. Pray for 21 days. And pray for the unity of God's people, because unified, we can transform the world. Fissured and divided, we become toxic to the world. We may have some power, but we don't have the power that Christ wants us to have in unity around the essentials of the historic Christian faith. So the word from the Lord that I received this morning, and I truly believe that this is a word from the Lord through his servant Elijah Wajaya, is to pray 3 times a day, start early tomorrow, pray for 21 days, and pray in one accord because that is precisely what Jesus asked us to do in John chapter 17. If we are united, the world will believe that God sent Jesus to save us in the midst of even the most significant pandemic that we can remember, although historically there have been worse pandemics. And we can have peace in the midst of the storm. At a time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, do remember Monday through Friday at this time, the Bible Answer Man broadcast here because of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Skeptics such as Bart Ehrman claim that the New Testament manuscripts were modified to misrepresent the meaning of the message of our Messiah. Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on in his new film, Fragments of Truth, traveling the globe to track down the most ancient New Testament manuscripts. Spoiler alert, the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it's stronger than ever. To receive the DVD Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell. Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine. The indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick. Why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.